Hello and welcome to the Doula Tribe podcast. I'm Tess and I'm from the Nurture Doula Tribe. I'm a postpartum doula, a mother, and I'm Irish. We will be focusing on mothers, families, birth, parenting, and the postpartum period. I'll be diving into lots of topics around raising children. I want to speak to inspiring people and I want you to learn something. So make sure you tune in. Find me on Instagram and subscribe to this podcast. See you soon. Hey, welcome to the Doula Tribe podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Michael Reed, and he has been married to his wife Jess for 14 years. That's amazing. And they have four sons, Max, Manny, Milo, and Romeo. I love all those names. He owns commercial contract cleaning company, but last year sold his carpet cleaning business. And he was a Christian pastor for 10 years, but he experienced a major burnout and breakdown physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. After being a Christian pastor for 10 years, Michael experienced a major burnout and breakdown physically, emotionally, and mentally, and spiritually, including his former belief system, his identity and dreams, which resulted in many years of mental illness, being in constant survival trauma mode, and a true dark night of the soul, which lasted many years. Through a deep growth, healing, and awakening journey to his true self, he continues to evolve and live from his heart center. He's now a certified spiritual and soul purpose life coach and is passionate about consciousness and helping others live from their souls, truth, passion, and purpose. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks so much for having me in this amazing community you've got.
Yeah, it has been a bit of that. Yesterday we had an amazing event with women, so I'm still reeling from that energy.
Yeah, no, I just love seeing the different guests that you've had as well and see that it really is an amazing community and love the events, retreats and everything that you're doing.
Yeah, and it is about bringing people together from all walks of life sometimes. I love it. Yeah. So I'm just wondering if you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, your family values or some key stories about your life.
Yeah, well, like we said, I've got four sons. And they were all born very close together. So they were all under 5 years old.
Oh my God.
So we had four boys under five. And look, that's fairly interesting on its own. We would get a lot of interesting looks because we had this pram at one stage where we could fit all four of them on the one pram.
That's amazing.
One on each of the seats, one would sit at the feet of the front and one would stand on the back. So it was pretty normal to go for a walk around whatever we're doing and all four kids piled on.
Oh my God.
So yeah, look, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was definitely.
I guess, look, our value system has, or our perspective on life has shifted a lot over my journey, particularly the last 6-7 years, but probably more the last few years, where I've really gone into my own personal growth and transformation and redeveloping a new belief system and value system based on what resonates with my heart. Mm. And so we're learning a lot about how to parent from that space.
Yes.
We've been through a lot. Even the kids have been through a lot in their early years. Like I said, I've had some mental health challenges, was in burnout, breakdown, survival mode for really the kids, baby, toddler and young childhood years. They're now in primary school, all of them.
Yeah.
And so, look, I think one of our main values is to really support and encourage them to know themselves, to think for themselves, to trust themselves, to go on their own journey and be them and be okay to question life and society and things and have different opinions. And we don't want to try and tell them what that needs to be or look like, but that we get to encourage them to discover that for themselves.
Yeah, amazing. That's so cool. I've just found Aware Parenting recently. I don't know if you've heard about it.
I've just started hearing more about it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what Aware Parenting philosophy is to, you know, really create children who are compassionate and in touch with their feelings, and that they're okay with the range of emotions that they feel every day. And, you know, that there's boundaries and there's loving limits to behavior, but that the behavior is not them. It's just a behavior and what's underneath that behavior. It's really interesting. I love it. I have a background in psychology, so it kind of just makes so much sense, like attachment parenting, you know, all this stuff, like Gabor Maté. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, yeah, love his stuff.
He's coming out more and more and talking about trauma. Mm. It's just everything's clicking into place now, I think, with parenting, and people are waking up a bit.
100%, yeah, there's more openness than ever, and more readiness to question old ways of living and thinking.
And if anything the pandemic taught us is maybe that it's not always their way is the best way, you know. This indoctrination.
And it's amazing when you start to connect with your own truth and your heart, how then your reality shifts and things around you change. And I've just seen even how relationships will change, the way people relate to you will change.
Yeah.
And so it feels like can feel impossible to find the good in life sometimes, or the love.
Yeah.
But like when you shift, then things will change around you, even if most of the world is chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. And you surround yourself with the people that you want to be around, don't you? Like that's how we operate. It's like, well, if you're not really on that vibration, you don't have to be here.
Yeah, and I guess that's,
it's a bit cutthroat.
It is, yeah, and that's a big part of the journey of deconstruction for a lot of people, is to, you know, letting go of the past and who they were and who they spent their time with, and then realigning and
finding your tribe. That's it.
And that can be a huge challenge, but that's what you're doing a great job of, and that I'll continue to do more of that as well.
Yeah, it takes a few people in a community to kind of drive it, I find. And then everyone is happy to come along if that's what they're aligning with. And I love seeing the change in people when that happens. It's really fun.
Mm.
So can you describe to me like what you're doing now at work? What are you passionate about?
Yeah, like you said before, I still run my contract cleaning business, and that's really supported us a lot, and that's been amazing. Plus, we sold one of those businesses last year. So even though I went through this dark night of the soul and mental health challenges and survival mode, you know, I built those businesses really to try and move forward with my life and refine myself. And so that's really supporting me now into my next stage and passion. And yeah, I've become certified as a spiritual and life purpose soul purpose coach. And yeah, I guess my passion really is consciousness through my breakdown. I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And in the end, the way that I found my way through them was to let go of the questions themselves when I started hearing about and being drawn to consciousness, which is surrendering to our awareness and our energy field beyond our mind.
Yeah.
And actually that's where a lot of the spiritual teachings I used to practice started to make more sense, more to my heart. And so I've become very passionate about that, because I feel like that's where our true empowerment can really come from. Our healing, our life purpose comes from when we really connect with ourselves. So I'm really passionate about helping people connect to their truth, to their true self, to live their true potential and to experience all of life.
Yeah.
And that's best experienced in the present moment.
Yeah. Who do you like attribute to leading you down this path? Do you have any one person?
Yeah, well, I was building my carpet cleaning business and I was listening to an entrepreneur's podcast and they talked about The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
Yes.
And I thought I need to read that book because I knew I was struggling to be present. You know, I was in trauma mode at the time and I was so stressed and we had 3 or 4 young kids at that point. I actually had 4 because I started the carpet cleaning business the same week my fourth son was born. And so that was really significant because I read The Power of Now and that was the first time in years that I really felt inner peace.
Oh, wow.
But then I'd go back to my chaos and patterns and everything that was going on internally. And it took it probably another 1 or 2 years before I really crossed that line of going all in on my personal growth, which then turned into the healing and awakening journey.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, Eckhart's books, mainly The Power of Now and Applying the Power of Now and Stillness Speaks, were really the only books I read for about 2 years because I couldn't consume any content. My inner world, I'd had a real existential crisis. My belief system and identity had fully broken down on who I was and the way I saw life. Relationships I'd lost, I was grieving a lot. There was just so many layers to it all and a whole lot of trauma was activated from my childhood and ancestral trauma. And I've only understood more layers of that recently. But I was carrying it all that time and it was such a struggle. But that, experiencing a greater awareness and consciousness, it really just gave me permission to just accept things as they were, whereas I couldn't. I was trying to figure it all out and trying to, be enough and figure out where this whole journey was going. But in letting it go, that's where the peace came in and that inner direction and guidance and connected me to my intuition as well, which has guided each step of the way.
And I spoke to someone recently about the difference between men and women sometimes, how we can be quite connected to our bodies through pregnancy and breastfeeding and children. And men sometimes don't have that experience. Like, do you feel like when you connected more into your body that really kind of gave you more purpose, like a bit more awakening that way?
Yeah.
Do you think that was relevant?
I definitely agree with what you're saying. I do feel like naturally women are more in touch with their bodies and their emotions, whereas men are more probably focused in their minds and get more stuck in their egos as a generalization.
Yeah. So
I feel like my journey really started when I started to burn out as a Christian pastor. And then I decided eventually I got to the point where something doesn't feel right inside of me. And now I'm going to start to trust how I feel inside of me and what gives me peace and where I feel love in my heart. And that took me out of Christianity.
Yeah.
And then I kind of went from bad to worse because then all the traumas got activated and I grieved so much and I lost so many relationships.
Yeah.
But that was me choosing that I'm going to pop out of my mind and my ego and the conditioned bubble I'd been in, the indoctrination. But I didn't know all that at the time. And it was starting to trust within. And then it took a few more years of suffering in that and more breakdown of just the past to be ready to, really embrace, like, all right, now I'm really going to start trusting my heart and my truth and move forward in that. And a lot of that was feeling, and I was incredibly disconnected from my emotions all the way through. I think even going back into when my kids were born, I was pretty disconnected. It was more like, another checkbox to tick in life, after having a baby, now doing this next. And I was always focused on what was next.
We call that masculine energy because there's like a list and you have to tick the box and, you have to really kind of be moving forward with things and doing things and fixing things. Whereas feminine energy is in the now and present and, which is really important during birth.
I would imagine it would be.
And men and women need both energies because we can't function without masculine and feminine energy. It's so out there that some people don't feel like they should be in their feminine or in their masculine sometimes. So, you know, some men can often feel like if they're feminine, they'll be labeled.
Yeah, look, I know exactly what you're saying. And I think sometimes people get a little lost with the terminology because we're saying masculine and feminine, but we're really talking about different energies. And yeah, women might naturally have one more and men might have the other more, but we both need both. And for us to really thrive and to fulfill our potential and experience life to the fullest, it's in both. And sometimes we can look at it as yin and yang.
Yeah, the Chinese call it that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just that balance of life where, yeah, I can be fully empowered and take action and move in the direction that I want without fear or being held back, but I can also be in the present moment. I can feel, I can connect, I can receive. And when you can flow between the two of them, then that's when, you know, life feels amazing because you're empowered, but you're also experiencing life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so when you became a father for the first time, maybe, was there a big shift in your thinking? Did that change you? Or I know you said you were in the midst of your mental health and trauma, but do you remember like becoming a father and how different that was for you? Or
yeah, well, look, I probably hadn't really started to burn out when my first came along. So I was just very much in the life I was living at that stage. And look, we always said the most challenging, you know, like, was it one or two or three or four kids? What was the most challenging? It was going from zero to one, you know, as the first one, because that's where the big shift of lifestyle happened and the needs and where our energy went. And then I think I was able to burn my energy on so many other things that I was so focused on in my mind. But then when you have this baby now to care for and you're not always getting as much sleep at night, then that's where things started, I think, to be exposed that I was living an unhealthy lifestyle in ways, in my mind and physically, but also eventually realizing I was also disconnected from myself.
Okay, so you kind of attribute having the baby to the little start of the awakening, really.
I think so. And for the next couple of years, because we had our second quite close, like I said, they were only 12 months and 5 days apart.
Wow.
And so then all of a sudden we had these two young babies. And I suppose we can just go into it now, but Jess, my wife, she had some health challenges along that way as well. She'd already had some health challenges leading up to it. And she'd actually had three miscarriages before Max was born. So that was really difficult. And as the women listening would know, like, that's a very big emotional experience as well, which I didn't understand at the time.
Yeah.
How big that is. And still when it comes up now, it's still, like, can be a tender topic.
Yeah, you never stop grieving.
And two of them were quite early, but one of them was at about 12 weeks.
Oh.
And yeah, just recently we made this little fairy garden and attributed it to our miscarriages that was lost. Yeah, so that was kind of, that was meaningful.
And did you tell the boys about them?
Yeah, we've called it Poppy's Garden, and we called her Poppy, which we've also called one of our alpacas Poppy as well, but it's just a name that's run through.
That's lovely. It's nice to market sometimes, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
100%. So, yeah, and what I was saying was then Max came along and Jess had had some health challenges. She ended up with preeclampsia when he came.
Yeah, that's tough.
And so all of a sudden, I think it was about 7 weeks out, she had to go into hospital.
Oh yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was when he was 6 weeks premature born. And
did they induce her?
No, they did an emergency cesarean.
Oh, because of the preeclampsia.
Yeah. They said afterwards he may not have survived another day in the state that he was. He wasn't getting any nutrition or his supply that he needed, oxygen. So, like, that was kind of, yeah, it was kind of like the rug was pulled out and now this is happening, whatever we thought it was going to be like. It was okay. Like, we didn't have other kids we had to juggle, so I was just able to put my time and focus there with Jess. And then it was challenging because he was in the special care nursery for that time.
Yep.
And then Jess got home and then we had to travel back and forth to the hospital for a while. And then they gave us a little apartment next to the hospital, so he didn't have to travel.
Oh,
and
then nice.
The next challenge came in because we're in this little house one day and Jess had a seizure and she passed out. And they had to call the ambulance. And then next thing, just Max was about to get released and then Jess got admitted into hospital to be trying to figure out why she'd had this seizure. And turned out she'd had a brain tumor and triggered this seizure.
Oh my God.
Which then they were worried about her having other seizures. And over the next sort of 6 months, I think it was, she sort of nearly had some or did partially have one. So she wasn't allowed to drive for 2 years after that. And we had Manny, our second son, a year later as well. So there was a lot happening there while I was busy sort of doing what I'd always done. And yeah.
The brain tumor like still there or?
So it was full on at the time. They're like, oh, we're putting you on the emergency list. We might need to operate. And it was all scary. And over the course of the next year or two, they realized it was benign and that it wasn't spreading and that it was okay. They said it was more risk to try and do something with it. And Jess was also put on some medications at that time that really messed around with her mental health. And she just took herself off them in the end because she wasn't herself. That was another challenge, just being in the special care nursery and transitioning onto that. And
so many interventions, isn't it? Like when you think about it now, how many interventions you guys had and you got through that? That's amazing.
Yeah, so I guess I went into that partly because that's what we're here to talk about, but also because there was a lot going on in the background where I was starting to get more and more tired. And I just thought, I've got young kids, we've been through these challenges, of course I'm tired. I also did a lot of work with teenagers in the church that I was at. So teenagers are pretty demanding as well. So I'm like, all right, I'm just tired, but I didn't realize I was deeply burning out. And to take it a few steps back, I really was disconnected from my own soul. I stepped into that life thinking I'm going to live my passion and follow my heart. And then I ended up really, yeah, following the culture and the indoctrination that I was in.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you got into like being a pastor? I don't even know how that happens.
I grew up in the Christian church and it was quite a contemporary kind of expression of Christianity. So
okay.
It was like live music and it was all like fun and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then, yeah, but then you've got the beliefs that you... So, look, my personal view is it's probably just evolved religion in terms of, yeah, you still need to have these certain beliefs. There's still a set of right and wrongs and lifestyle and things. And there's a lot of things that's off the table. And
you have the Ten Commandments or not?
Yeah, you have the Ten Commandments of the Bible. But then, yeah, look, there's just a lot of, yeah, you can do this and this is okay and this is a holy life and this is not and this is who Jesus was and this is who he wants you to be. And
so it's a bit culty.
Yeah, it is.
Are we allowed to say that word? I don't know.
Yeah, no, we're allowed to say that word. It took me a long time to be okay with saying that, but it did really control the way you think. And look, the big part of me exiting was when I burnt out and I was really struggling, but then I started to question things.
Yeah.
And then I realized just the energy shifted around me. I went from the inner circle to the outer because I was questioning things.
Oh, so you can't question things.
Yeah, you
Not
can't
allowed.
question things. Not if you want to be in the inner circle or the inner group of it.
Oh
And
yeah, that's a cult.
I thought I was a part of unconditional love.
Oh, it's so sad. I just, oh,
and
it's
that's where I had
terrible.
to question things because I'm like, well, I thought I was a part of unconditional love. Now I'm struggling. I need help. I need love. But now I'm getting pressure put on me to just accept the way
Conform.
things have always been, conform. Yeah, be happy, put on a happy face. I was given some time to be sick, but then I was put pressure on to get back with the program. And I was told no more sitting up the back and being sad. You've got to get back to who you were. And I was in depression at the time.
You just got to sweep that under the rug there now, Michael, and cop yourself on. Like, that's how they are in the Catholic as well.
Yeah.
Widespread throughout Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, massive. Well, look, these challenging times, whether they're collectively or for me, like that challenging time I went through, they become the catalyst for us, sometimes through our suffering, to then question things, get enough pain points in our life to realize something's not sitting right. And
yeah,
never had the courage to really listen to what feels right in my body and within me. And eventually you get that courage. So like I grew up in it, I was part of the youth group. I had these experiences where I'm like, yeah, like I want people to experience love, the love of God. And so I thought, and I felt called to leadership in that area. And I thought, this is what I'm meant to do. This is the only way I knew to express it. And I thought everyone in the world needed my beliefs so they could have the salvation and all of that. So I basically turned 18 and went all in. I went to Bible college. I got an assistant paid role in the church. And then I went into a full-time role shortly after that. And I did a lot of networking with others and bits and pieces. And I was trying to follow what was within me without really being connected within me. And so I was stuck in this bubble that I'd grown up in.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like I've come full circle now through a deep awakening and healing journey to really connect with that part of me that I knew all along.
Yeah.
Was to experience and help others find that unconditional love.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize I was going to have to go through a full breakdown and walk away and be completely misunderstood and judged by everyone that I thought was all my supporters.
Yeah.
To get there.
Yeah. Huge. It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Especially when you think like ancestrally and generationally, all the fear that we've carried of questioning these beliefs and these systems that have really held people in fear and controlled and in slavery and told these stories like it's all for the good and it's all about love. Mm.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the rest of your children's births or just one? Or?
Yeah, so yeah, I shared a bit on Max and then, yeah, Manny came 12 months later. And yeah, he was probably the most like normal experience we had, if you call it that. He still came as a cesarean because Jess had already had one. They basically said, you're having another one. That's
they
the
told her what to do.
Basically, yep.
That sounds like the hospital system.
Yeah. Yeah, like we didn't have a choice.
I know, right?
And then Milo was another, he was about 20 months later.
Yeah.
And actually, it was New Year's Day and we were out for a picnic with the two young ones. And it's funny because on Jess's Instagram, we're out for a picnic. And then she went into labor while we were in this picnic. But it was about 3 or 4 weeks early than full term would have been. So then we realized, oh, we need to go to hospital. And like 4 or 5 hours later, because she'd already had the cesareans again, they said, well, you're having a cesarean. She was already in labor. So they said, we need to get on with it. And then Milo came along. So
naturally.
Not naturally, that was a cesarean.
Oh, they did that one again. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, they rushed it because they said, you've already had two cesareans. You need to have another one.
And then what about your fourth son?
My fourth son, Romeo. So he was probably the biggest surprise out of them all, even though we always said we'll have four or five kids. I won't go into the story there, but anyway, and it was because I was in that time where I was really struggling. I had was really in the depths of survival mode.
Yeah.
There was a lot of trauma, but I didn't understand any of it. I was in depression, anxiety, PTSD. You know, that was just my personal state.
Yeah.
I was working in a factory at the time to provide for the family.
So had you left the church at this time?
We were still, I'd left my role, but we were still the church.
Okay.
Because we didn't know any different. So we're we stayed there and tried. And look, we did have support relationally there.
Yeah.
And so when Romeo came, actually the same week I started my carpet cleaning business on the same week, just to layer up the stress on top of everything that I was going through. But I felt I was really sinking and I needed something to focus on.
Yeah.
I was really struggling to be present and to be with the kids and just with life.
Yeah.
Jess was also quite sick again through that pregnancy. She had cholestasis, which she had a little bit with some of the other pregnancies, but she got really itchy to the point where she couldn't sleep. She was having cold showers through the night. And so we kind of went into this one completely sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And my mental health was really bad and Jess's was starting to struggle. We'd already started to feel a lot of the hurts of not being supported and loved when we had needed it.
Yeah.
And so she went into hospital a bit earlier and just so she could get some rest because of the cholestasis. She had three kids at home, so it was kind of good. At least she could get in there, but then she just couldn't sleep. So,
and they couldn't give her any medication for it.
I think they gave her something in the end.
Yeah.
But from memory, Jess went to the doctors a couple of times or a number of times, and they just didn't really take her serious. She's like, I'm getting itchy, you know. Like she didn't know she could get something for it at first from my memory.
Yeah.
And so it took like toward till nearly the end. She was already sleep deprived and three young kids at home and all scratched up. She, not to judge, but she looked like a complete drug addict that had fully scratched up herself because she was,
So itchy,
yeah.
And just for anyone who is experiencing that, like herbs and natural health can really help in that, in those situations, because in Chinese medicine, they have like a specific herbal and acupuncture tincture they can give you. And it really supports the liver to detoxify, because your liver goes through a lot when you're pregnant. Like, you know, you're trying to support this baby and filter all the toxins out from the baby and yourself. So like it's really important that we support our bodies through pregnancy.
Yeah, well, that's it. And we're in a very different place then where we weren't even allowed to explore herbal kind of ways. It was just, you know, what was normal in the Christian culture, what the doctors were saying, and that was supporting yourself that way. Mm. And that was taking their things or their advice. And really, we've learned so much since then.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And then when your fourth son was born, was he all good? Like, did he come early or?
He came a little bit early, but that was their choice because they thought, oh, he's a little bit small and things. But it turns out he came and he was all good and healthy and they just took him out early. It turned out it was a guessing game.
It still is.
Yeah. And Jess felt like she knew and that it was okay. And so it just sort of comes back to that. You know, the mother knows.
She intuition.
Felt like, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I know.
But it was a challenging infancy. Mm. He didn't sleep very well. And maybe that was a reflection on my and our emotional state. Yeah, look, it was a challenging time. And when he had emotional needs, it was challenging to meet those. Jess really, she dug deep and I didn't have a lot to give and offer in that time. So yeah, look, I probably owe her a lot from that time because she would do so much of the care
yeah
and through the night and And yeah, I felt like I was doing a lot. I was pushed to my limits with my mental health and running a new business and trying to process the changes. And over the next year, we did end up leaving the church over the next year. So that was another big sort of significant stressor moment.
It's huge, isn't it? Yeah. You've had a lot happen throughout the births of your children. You know, and it, when you have very little capacity, and I find this as well by running a business, or well, I know when I'm at capacity, and I call it the window of tolerance. My window of tolerance is like, you know, I can't even respond in a nice way to my children. I know that my cup isn't full. You know, I'm not getting that. I'm not getting my feelings listened to, or I'm not doing stuff for myself, and I'm taking too much on. You know, this is what I've learned by becoming a mother and trying to run a business. Do you feel like there was a time, is there like a big moment after all your children were born that you, you know, after you left the church, that everything changed for the better?
Look, a big part of my turning point was after a time of really suffering and just inner misery, because even though I started to experience some success with my new business and I was kicking the goals and we got a house that we're renovating and it looked on the outside like, you know, everything was going well and picture perfect in a sense.
Yeah.
Inside, I was so disconnected, so stressed, all of that. And then I decided I needed change, and that's where I opened up to personal growth.
Okay.
And I hired a personal coach at that time. It was a high performance, like a business coach, which is just what fell into my lap. It was through Brendan Burchard's organization. He does a lot of personal growth in America. But I bought his book and then got the course. And then they said, oh, we've got this challenge. Do you want to take it on? It comes on with a coach. And also had a $10,000 price tag on it. And so my head was going, like, I'd never spent money on myself before, apart from buying a few books here and there. And my head's going, no way. And even Jess was like, I don't know if we can spend that money. But my heart was saying, yes, like, I've got to do this. I don't know why. I need change in my life. And so I committed to it, and we just started talking about my goals. What do I want? And then we started talking about my why. What are my reasons? And like, I cried a lot in that time, because a big part of my why was I knew I was so disconnected from my kids, from that relationship. I was in trauma mode. And so when you talk about that window of tolerance, you know, there was like that window almost didn't exist ever. And so it's really challenging to meet your needs in that place, because we're scared of what we'll find when we do go to meet our needs, is when we need really deep healing. And it's not like, there's no quick fix when you're in that state. There's no way to just shift years of mental illness and trauma. It's like, it's going to take some time to really heal those layers by layers, and a lot of courage. It takes a lot of energy to do that. And so I did that and went for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping to be on top of the world by then. And then I actually did some other courses, but then I realized I had so much resistance, so many inner blocks. That was where the trauma was starting to come up more. And yeah. I realized I needed a lot of healing. And that's where I opened up to energy and energy healers. And did some programs, and then eventually did some Reiki and different things like that started to clear me, so I could take the next step and body the next layer and do the next program and hire the next coach. And
yeah. So you never went for traditional counseling or psychologists?
Initially I did, when I first burnt out, and I went to the doctor and I went to the psychologist, and I really just felt like it was very surface and superficial, and they kept coming back to medications, and it didn't sit right with me. I thought, I used to have really great energy, you know, as a young man in my early 20s, I felt like I was invincible. And then all of a sudden I was kind of almost had chronic fatigue, a sense. So it wasn't, wasn't diagnosed with that, but it was like everything was so heavy and an effort, and And so I wanted to get to the root cause of why I had become that way, of what, where this was coming from. I didn't want something on the surface. But then I lost a lot of trust with the health system in that time, because I felt like this is all band-aids. This isn't what I need. And you keep putting pressure on me to have the medication, but no one's telling me why or where this has come from, apart from that it was stress, that you've got kids, you've got this and that. I knew there was a lot more.
Yeah.
I also knew I was scared of the answers that I might have to find in asking those questions.
We're very brave as well to, challenge the Western way, isn't it? Really, is what you're doing.
And because I was in that trauma state already, I felt like I didn't really have a choice. Like I could have taken the medications, and I support anyone that's in that crisis point that needs to do that for that time, and you can heal through that as well, and you can keep moving on your healing journey.
Yeah,
from my point of view, but I just knew that something was off, and it was the same thing in Christianity. I'm like, something's off, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
There you go. So when at one point after all the energy courses and things like that, what did everything kind of shift completely?
Yeah, well, look, I feel like the pinnacle of change is just what I feel within me. It's that intuition that's guiding me, kind of that North Star that's like, that's the thing that's driving me. And I don't feel like there was any one point, because I feel like there's just been a lot of layers of just integrating, on every level of my health.
Mm.
And healing and aligning with my soul and with my beliefs.
Yeah.
And that's still happening recently. I've started running my own podcast, Welcome to Consciousness. And a big part of that was there's still so many fears coming up around speaking my truth and sharing my voice. And so there's no magic moment where I'm on top of the world. It's just this is the next step. And I grow stronger every time. Just by doing that.
Yeah.
It took me a while to find that connection to myself, to be confident that this was the next step that I wanted to take. And I think that's why I didn't take steps for a long time, and I suffered for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I put my whole life into something once. I wasn't just going to do that just with anything that someone was excited about or tried to sell me through a program or someone else was living. Even the high performance coaching, it was helped me at the time, but it was wasn't really what I needed, because it was very masculine and it wasn't really taking into account all the emotional wounds and things that I really needed to reach my fullest potential and the trauma that goes with that. And there's very few people that really get that and are able to hold that space of both.
Yeah, that's so true. It is a very holistic approach, isn't it? And I think we can't disregard one modality to another, because they're all important. And you get something out of each one, don't you?
Totally. And it's always about what resonates with you at the time, what your intuition's drawing you to. And that's how I've learned to make decisions. Am I going to do this program? Or am I going to take this action? Or am I going to do this business? It's just what's your intuition saying? And
how do you describe intuition? Because I describe it that first thought that you have that comes to your head when you're focusing on a task or whatever. I think your intuition is it's not being overthought or slept on, or let's just sit on it. It's the first thought you have, just do that. That's what I think intuition is.
Yeah. Yeah, I really feel like it's your inner knowing. So it's what you know, and the more you're prepared to listen to your body. I feel it a lot in my gut and my heart space.
Yeah.
And I've learned to tune into what is a yes and what's a no there.
Yeah.
So it's open, expansive, nice feeling when it's a yes. And when it's a no, it's just a sort of a closed feeling and a slight contraction. And it's all right, I just know.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
I think there is a case where sometimes you have to make a decision and it's you need some time to sit on it. Will I go down this path or this path? But already, within you, you know, the direction to take or what's right for you and what's not.
And yeah, how many times have you had a feeling and then you didn't follow that feeling and you're like, damn it, that was my intuition. You know, like everyone you talk to has had that.
Yeah.
Like everyone.
We've all got it.
That first feeling, like, of I should have went that way.
But there's a lot of fear in following your intuition because eventually then you have to question your conditioning and all your mind and what everyone else is thinking and choose to live. I'm going to live from my intuition rather than what culture is saying, which I've always done, and what your family might be saying. And so it takes you into a deep place within yourself, and you've got to be ready for that.
Yeah, you do. You do. You have to be brave. You know, like brave and well able to deal with the fallout, I suppose, and maybe well resourced. Because if you think about some people who go against the grain, they're often well resourced. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have businesses or financially that set us up that we don't really need money from the government or, you know, to follow the free healthcare system. And this is what I mean. Sometimes you have to be resourced to be creative in your thinking and follow your intuition, unfortunately.
Yeah, ability of embodying our truth and, you know, our soul's purpose that we have. And all those things are part of the journey. So for years I questioned, well, why am I cleaning carpets and doing cleaning contracts and stuff? That's not my dream, my passion. I'll give it up tomorrow if I have to. But then I realized I was building those resources and I was growing so much. And now that's been like that strong foundation, just even financially and having that, yeah, that backing and also everything I've learned through that. But it was, that was just as much a part of the journey because that's what my intuition was telling me to do. And even for a couple of years, I'm like, I just wanted my intuition to tell me to start doing what I'm doing now. But it was saying, no, build these contracts out. And I did. And it just all happened without me doing anything amazing. And then the energy changed and I stopped getting contracts and I went into deep healing because I had that support.
Yeah, awesome. It's a manifestation, isn't it? Often. I know that word is kind of thrown around, but if we focus on something and we want it to happen, we just have to take those steps for it to happen. If you're focused on something, it will happen eventually. It just might not happen tomorrow, but it is about being realistic and having that visualization of that, you know, thing in your mind. And it comes back to birth, I suppose, and having a good birth or having a positive, whatever that looks like in your life, you can manifest that, you know, but you have to have the right people around you and surround yourself with the right tools. And yeah, it can often not include the modern Western healthcare.
Yeah, and look, the thing I love about consciousness and energy is that we often talk about becoming like a vibrational match for what you want to attract in your life. And so you become magnetic in your life. So you can, that's where the manifesting comes in. You can manifest what's aligned with you, but the more you align with that energy in your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, your own energy field, so clearing out the fear, clearing out the traumas, those things, then all of a sudden you can become that vibration of whatever that is, love, abundance, connection, health. And then it's kind of like your life shifts around you and you start to experience that in your physical experiential life, and that flows into everything. It's all connected.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. What do you think the gaps are in maternity around Shep? How do you think we could do better?
Yeah, look, probably from my own perspective and experience, it's really bringing in so much more emotional and energetic support for women and men.
Families,
understanding that health, that's where it starts. And all the health issues that we're having, well, nearly all of them, all start with emotion and all start at an energetic level. And so if we really want to talk about health and wellness and true connection and love and in that sense, and connection with our babies, whether they're in the womb or whether they've been born, there's so much energetic and emotional connection that you can have when you're embodied in that state. So I think a lot more support around that and understanding and support for people to do their own inner work and healing, and that preparation, like having a baby and raising kids, is going to become your greatest mirror of your shortcomings, your traumas, your fears.
Reparenting yourself.
And so, yeah, it's very easy to be like paint a picture perfect idea of what parenting is going to be. And for a lot of people, that's the opposite. It's more stress. It's more pain. It's more hardship. Traumas come up. Kids, you just want to get away from them, and all sorts of things.
Yeah, they just activate us often.
Yeah, a lot more support around that, because it's not an easy journey to walk with. But from a bigger perspective, I feel that our kids are just as much a part of our soul journey, or on their own soul journey, as we are. We're equals in that sense, and we've got as much, we can learn as much from them as they will from us. And just understanding on that deeper level that there doesn't have to be that separation.
Yeah, I love that. It's clear that we need something else, because the current maternity system isn't working, really. Like, it's just kind of generating a lot of major surgeries. Like, it's up at 45% or something.
Yeah, and look, I haven't explored it a lot, but I know in my own journey, I've healed through different layers of trauma that have come from being in the womb, being at birth, and being a baby. And, you know, for me, there was a lot of disconnect to that feminine, nurturing love. And a lot of the times, if you're just in the system and you're just thrown in, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and you're not connected to your emotions, or even feeling the grief if you maybe had the miscarriage, or you maybe had to have a cesarean because you were sort of made to and weren't supported in other possible ways, or it was just a very stressful environment, or, you know, for ours, a couple of the babies were taken straight away from us and we didn't get that bonding time.
Like, that is just the biggest nightmare for me. I can't even comprehend that.
So
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
To extend that out, like, that does create a trauma, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, like,
of course,
for that baby and possibly for us as well. But like, that's how their first experiences, and all that experiences is describing how safe it is to be in this world and how open they can be to love and to connection and to energy, and how confident or how courageous they'll be in listening to their own truth.
Yeah.
And how much healing they're going to need to do to find that in the future. And look, that's part of the journey too, because one of my biggest regrets was passing on so much trauma to the kids and finding it hard to forgive myself for that.
Yeah. The beautiful thing is that it's not all doom and gloom with children, because they repair so well, like, better than us, you know. When they're young, their brains, the pathways, they just repair. If you have changed the way you are parenting or loving them or attached to them, they don't remember that birth and being separated from you. If you have done the work now and you have changed the way you are as an adult towards your child, they're going to be flourishing and thriving, and you've already changed their lives from the sounds of it. So that's the beautiful thing is of children, you know.
Yeah, totally. And it's quite an amazing thing about life, how we're connected on so many levels, energetically. Yeah. And when you work through your things and you change your energy state and then they realize that, it allows allows them to change too.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you seen that massive shift in your children, like since you've done the work and your wife?
Definitely. I'm probably starting to see it now more so.
Yeah.
Because I would have liked to say that I just moved through the trauma I was facing really quickly, but it's been a challenging journey.
Yeah.
Even the last year, you know, has been most of my focus has been going deeper inwards. And it's really challenging to do that even while parenting, because they demand so much energy and that takes a lot of energy. And a lot of sometimes that emotion comes to the surface when you're doing that work, and the kids can sense that, and then they have their needs and they're not getting met maybe at the time, and so they push your buttons more. And and so we've had some really challenging times in just, you know, that coming to the surface. And I know even when we put a boundary in place, that can trigger a trauma, like for the kids, like, oh, you don't care about me.
Yeah.
And then to work through some of those layers and hold a sort of a different energetic state, so that then that allows them. And sometimes that means there's chaos in the meantime because they're letting it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is aware parenting, just letting them have those range of emotions. And children have a beautiful, natural, innate way of healing. And they rage and they cry and they release all these emotions that we're conditioned not to do. So like they have this innate ability to heal, but we don't, because we've been conditioned to suppress all that. So that's what's so amazing about children. I learned so much from my children. Like, oh, that's how you let that feeling out. Okay, I need to do that more. You know, like they're amazing. Yeah.
And
they don't hold back, do they?
It's allowing them to do that. Yeah, no, they don't hold back. Like, I think their favorite time to let all that out is in the car on the way home from school.
I know. It's fun.
Or bedtime.
Yeah, bedtime is a great one. The middle of the night.
For us, you know, knowing that we have been working through these layers, but having four boys very close, when they all start letting out those emotions, like, there's... it can be out of control.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And like just separating two is hard for me. I can't imagine separating four. That's a mental case.
Like the reality of this journey for some, like it's not a walk in the park to be raising kids, to be healing your own trauma, to be connecting with your own truth, questioning society, being misunderstood by family and friends a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like that's challenging. And then to have the kids constantly mirroring that back to you and with each other. And sometimes it was just so hard to feel centered and grounded in that. And it still is at times. But I always just remind myself now, it's just because we're ready for the next layer of healing to happen.
Yeah.
And we can hold the space next step. For that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And that's so I probably be too hard on myself too. So try to be perfect. And that's another thing that we all have to learn to let go of. And it's better to be real and to feel what's happening than to try and be perfect and say, oh, well, you know, maybe I'm not doing a good job as a parent because there's all these emotions that are out of control. That can actually be a healthy thing.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I love that. Well, how can people connect and find you, Michael? I'm sure they'll be interested.
Well, on Instagram, I have an account called Welcome to Consciousness, which is the name of the podcast. So that's a great one.
Yeah.
I also have a website, which is michaelreid.earth.
Okay, awesome. And that's probably linked in your Instagram too.
Yeah, it will be. Yep, on the link tree there. But yeah, if anyone has any questions or anything I talked about or is interested in what I do or how I can help them or maybe some men in their lives, I'd be really happy to
that. Exciting. That's amazing. Thank you for coming on today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me and your amazing work.
I just want to thank Michael for coming on today and speaking to me about all the important things around parenting, his birth of his beautiful four children,
And of course, men's mental health, which is so such an important topic these days. And he really has got come out the other side, and I think it will be inspiring to some. And make sure you give him a listen and a follow as well on his podcast, because I'm going to be a guest on that too. And thank you for listening today. Make sure you subscribe.